Now, today's service is one in which there's opportunity for those who would like prayer for healing in body, mind, or spirit to come forward and be prayed for later in the service. And it's very fitting that we've reached a stage in this series of sermons on the Gospel of Mark when Jesus' public ministry begins, and it begins with a brief account of three events which illustrate who he is and what his mission is about, and he does it by his actions. And those actions deal with ill health in mind and body that so many at his time around him faced. And these vignettes, as it were, you might call them, illustrate the good news that Mark says in verse 1 what his book is all about. And that first verse, the beginning of the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the key to the whole of what Mark was to write. Now, in previous sermons on Mark's gospel, we've seen the logical progression in the preparation for Jesus' ministry. How John the Baptist prepared the way for him to come, the experience Jesus underwent when he was baptized and received the gift of the Spirit, a profound affirmation that he was loved by God, who was his Father, and who took great pleasure in him. An important basis for what was to come. And that experience gave him strength to withstand the testing in the wilderness, a testing that deepened his faith before he began his public ministry, which began with a summary of his preaching in Galilee. The time that was appointed has arrived. God's kingdom is arriving. Turn back, change the way you are living, and put your trust and believe the good news that I am bringing. And finally, we heard how he began to develop a community of disciples around him so that he can now take a group with him. And they go into the small town of Capernaum on the edge of the Sea of Galilee for a very full and busy Sabbath, Saturday, a day of worship, a day of rest. And what I want to do is to look at these three events: healing in the synagogue, healing in a house, and healing in the street. Look at them in turn and see what lessons we can draw from them today. In verses 21 to 28 that Claire read to us, we read how, to people's amazement, Jesus taught with authority and drove an evil spirit out of a man in the synagogue. Following that morning in the synagogue, in verses 29 to 31, the group goes to the home of Simon and Andrew, where he heals Simon's mother-in-law. We don't often think of the disciples as being married. Healed her from her fever. And finally, in the evening of that day, verses 32 to 34, he heals many of their sicknesses and drives out the forces that were possessing them. The kingdom of God, the rule of God, the purpose of God has touched the lives of so many to point to the wholeness and the salvation that God desires for everyone. So, first of all, the healing in the synagogue. He teaches with authority, and he drives out an evil spirit. There must have been quite a stir in the synagogue when this wandering preacher and his retinue arrived. In preparing for this sermon, I discovered a bit about synagogues, the place where Jews met. And if there were 10 Jews or more than 10 Jews in any area, there would be a synagogue. They met not so much for worship, but primarily as places for prayers, for reading the Jewish scriptures, and interpreting, explaining them. Something's happening with... It sounded very good to me up here.
Okay, go.
Go. Shall I begin again? No? Right. In the synagogues, they met not so much for worship, but primarily as places for prayers, for reading the Jewish scriptures and explaining them. There had been no singing and no music. There was a ruler of the synagogue whose task was to administer the affairs of the synagogue. There was the man who took out and put away the sacred scroll
which was read, but there was no permanent preacher or teacher. The ruler could call on any competent person to speak. And given that Jesus' reputation had gone around in Galilee, it was natural that the ruler would ask him to teach. Whereas normally he'd approach one of the people known as scribes, the people who'd studied the books of the law and could explain the teaching and the background and as necessary, make decisions on disputed matters. And normally they would say something like, there's a teaching that, and go on to list what different authorities had said. Rabbi X says this, Rabbi Y says that. But this is what amazed the listeners, was the authority with which Jesus spoke. He didn't say, Rabbi X says this, and Rabbi Y says that about the text that's been read. He was direct in telling them what God's will was. I say to you, God's rule is very close. God cares for you and wants you to turn your lives around and live differently. Put your trust in God. I say to you. And there was something about the way that Jesus spoke, the content of his teaching, that made people look up and say, this is different. Who is this person? First question people would ask was, who is he? He speaks with authority. Where's he come from? What do we know about him? But what struck those attending even more was that someone interrupted what he was saying, someone possessed and tormented by an evil spirit. And that man revealed who Jesus was, and Jesus proceeded to drive the evil spirit out of him. And in this way, alongside his teaching, he gave another opportunity to demonstrate his authority. It's interesting that in Mark's gospel, it's often those who are outcasts and not part of the religious and social setup who recognize who Jesus is, while those who might be expected to know about him do not. So what do we make of this exorcism, this driving out of an evil spirit? Well, in New Testament times, as today in many parts of the world, there was a belief that behind many afflictions lay an evil spirit of some sort, which possessed and tormented people. Today, in our more scientific age, in quotes, we often have difficulty talking about spirit possession, and we seek a more scientific explanation. We look at some issues as being issues of mental health, of people being overwhelmed by anxiety, or depression, or suffering as a result of terrible traumas that they've experienced. And sometimes we even talk of people being possessed. And in a different way, even we still use the expression, oh, the poor devil. It's still heard. We also talk of people facing their demons. We talk about the demon drink. In other words, what Jesus was doing in this exorcism was he was actually addressing the evil that lies behind so much of life and that can possess people. And however we may understand what was happening, Jesus took the prevailing view at that time and dealt with it by speaking directly to the man and whatever possessed him. Be quiet, come out of him. And with a shriek, the spirit comes out. Why be quiet? Because for some reason at that stage in his ministry, Jesus didn't want it revealed too loudly, too widely, that he came from God. He wanted people to see what he did, hear his teaching, and draw their conclusions from that. Interestingly, as one reads this gospel, this passage, one would expect something about this man has been healed, this spirit has come out of him. A bit of rejoicing and celebration. But there isn't. Instead, there's a big question. What is this? What's this new teaching? He speaks and with authority. He gives orders to new evil spirits and they obey him. And news about what he'd done later spread over the whole region of Galilee, probably starting that day, as we'll see a bit later. But when the synagogue meeting was over, Jesus' work was not completed, for he moved on to a healing in a house. We move in verse 29 immediately, a word that Mark loves to use, immediately things happen. Next thing happens immediately, from the synagogue to the home. It's quite natural that Jesus and his community should be invited to the home of two of his new followers, Simon and his brother Andrew. And there Simon's mother-in-law is suffering from a fever. And in that intimate and small situation of a home, Jesus acts with little audience, but care for this woman. Such care that he breaks all the boundaries and takes her by the hand to help her up. The healing touch and a sensitive touch can release from pain and support those in need. Now, on Radio 4's Prayer for the Day last week, Terry Waite was speaking about his time of imprisonment as a hostage in Beirut back in the late 1980s. And after 4 years of isolation, of solitary confinement, he was imprisoned with the other hostages, John McCarthy, Brian Keenan, and the American Terry Anderson. Terry Waite was suffering with a severe bronchial infection, such that he had difficulty breathing and could not lie down to sleep. And he spoke of how Terry Anderson, in the watches of the night, would put his hand on his shoulder as he sat propped up against the wall, struggling for breath, and the comfort and reassurance and a sense of someone being with him that provided. And a healing and comforting touch is what Jesus offered Peter's mother-in-law. And this is where the laying on of hands at a service for healing can provide that touch of support, that care and flow of spirit. So Peter's wife's mother was cared for, and her fever abated, such that she was able to get up and serve a meal to those gathered in the house. And it was fortunate that they were able to have a meal, because the day had not ended. For after the healing in the house came healing in the street. Verse 32. Finally, on that Sabbath day, in the evening, people came in their flocks as word spread about the healer who had come to Capernaum. They waited until the evening, for to carry someone sick would have been unlawful on the Sabbath day. It would have counted as work, which was unlawful. And in a way, Jesus' healing of the man with the evil spirit was unlawful, though that wasn't picked up in this passage. They were just amazed at what he did. So people had waited until the sun had set, and the law allowed them to bring their sick people. And Jesus did not reject them, but he healed, he dealt with the demons that were possessing people. And what is significant is that they brought their needs to Jesus. He did not reject them, but touched them and healed. But he wouldn't let the demons speak, because they knew who he was. He was not yet ready to have that revealed. And in the same way, we can bring our needs, our anxieties, our problems, our demons, our ill health, and we can bring the anxieties, the needs, the pains of others too, on their behalf, to Jesus around the table today, in our prayers, in our sharing with those set aside to pray today. Now, such prayer and offering of health needs to God is not to contrast divine healing to healing by medicine, which also is the work of God through the medical profession. Healing by miracle, healing by prayer, and healing by medicine are complementary routes to what God intends for all. Wholeness of life and human health, a foretaste of what God ultimately intends in heaven and in the restored heaven and earth. It is not a question of prayer for healing over against medicine. It's a question of both and. The connection between what is in our minds and subconsciouses and our physical well-being is increasingly recognized. And so the concern at a healing service to offer to God our needs in the company of others to gain the assurance of concerned prayer which touches our spirits, complements, and may assist the processes of other therapies. So, in this service, as we come to this time of prayer for healing, let us offer to God our needs, but let us also give thanks to God for the healing touch that Jesus offers and for the work of his Spirit in our lives, and the example of his dealing with the forces of evil in the synagogue, the personal, intimate healing touch in the home, and the care for the multitude in the street. A prayer to conclude. Lord Jesus Christ, you invite all who are burdened to come to you. Allow your healing hand to touch us today, our souls, with your compassion for others. Touch our hearts with your courage and your great love for all. Touch our minds with your wisdom. And may we always proclaim your praise. Our Lord Jesus Christ, bring us health and wholeness in body and spirit, that we may serve you with all our strength. Touch gently our lives, which you have created, now and forever. Amen.